We go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at true worship. And there's three Greek words that are translated worship that we'll look at. So I have an extended notes here. So we start with, though, in Hebrews 4:12, because Hebrews 4:12 is a very familiar verse. For the word of God is quick or living, and the word of God is powerful. So the word of God is living, and it's powerfully active. You are holding an active word of God. To quote Young Frankenstein, it's alive! Okay. It basically, it's living. It's powerfully active, is how the Greek reads. This is something that when you read it, it gives you... Okay, you could read it. And for the 17,000th time, I'm going to read Ephesians, and you can go rote through it and all of that. But when you really stop and think and consider and read and understand and actively get involved, like you're watching a good soap opera, or a bad soap opera, because I don't know if there is such a thing as a good one. But anyway, it's living. The Word of God is living, powerfully active, and it goes right to the heart of the matter. Sharper than a two-edged sword, pierces. It goes right to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, between life and immortal spirit. It's that sharp. The Word of God, if you want to know where somebody's at, start speaking the Word to them. You'll either chase them away or you'll captivate them, because the Word of God is powerfully active. Then what they do afterwards, oh, hear you again on this matter, or they will run, or they will leave. And go to Luke 24. Because as you're speaking God's Word, as you're hearing and actively involved with God's Word, Luke 24:32, it's like these two guys who were, you know, taking a day trip. They couldn't find an Uber driver, so they were walking. And they were going to Emmaus, and this person came up next to them and started sharing the scriptures with them. And at the end, when they'd spent hours talking to this individual about the scriptures, here is what they say. Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the stock market? The great truths of what's going on? No, the scriptures. The scriptures. When the scriptures are laid out, their heart burned within them. If you've ever spent the time talking the word to somebody, you know, as Isaac found out, you know, well, how much excitement that is, and how much you just, yeah, somebody there listening, and they're not running away. Your heart just burns within it because of the powerful activeness of this living word of God. So what we should do, since this is such a great thing, is put it on the shelf and pick it up every couple weeks. Probably not. It might behoove us to openly read and try and understand so our heart can burn within us. You know why this is so exciting? Because of John 8. Because we learn about the truth. John 8:31. This being an election season, we have all kinds of politicians making all kinds of promises. And we know they're always speaking the truth. Okay, so let's go to John 8:31 and see what's really true. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed, not the Jews that didn't believe that are trying to kill him, but those who really wanted to know, that believed concerning him. He says, if you read my word once, no, he didn't use that word. If you continue in my word, this powerfully active, this living word, if you continue in that, that is what will make you a disciple of me. And then you will know the truth. And because you know the truth, the end result of knowing the truth shall make you free. True freedom comes from understanding what the Word of God has to say. And once you know the truth on a subject, you can be at peace with that subject. You don't need to fight about it anymore. You have what the Word of God says is truth on a subject. So when it says all men are liars, you know that's true. That includes women. So all includes men. But that's the point. Look at verse 36 here. 8:36 says, if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. True freedom, because there's so many people who live in bondage today in the land of the free, so to speak, because they don't understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he really accomplished for us. So the truth via the Son is what makes you free, really makes you free. And in case you're wondering, go to John 14:6, a familiar scripture. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto those who were around him, I am the way, I'm the path, I'm the direction. If you need to follow anything, I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. I am real life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't get to any real God, depending on what you want to call him, without going through the Son. It's that simple. If you don't have the Son, you're going to be lost because you don't have the truth. You don't have freedom. And you can have many other things, or you think you might, but you really don't have true freedom. You truly don't have true liberty. Look at, while we're here, look at 17:7. We'll get one more thing about truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The only way to the Father, the only way to the true God is through the truth himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he really was Lord in your life. That God raised him from the dead. He's more than just a great prophet. 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's why this is so burning within, so living, so active. It's truth. It's truth. And that's what gives you true freedom. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. It's established in the epistles here. 2 Corinthians 3, and we start in verse 17. I had a discussion recently with somebody that since they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they could not have the truth. So who was I discussing or arguing or having objections with? Somebody who didn't understand the truth. So they thought they did. They knew all the world facts. But is that truth? No, Christ is truth. 2 Corinthians 3, and we pick it up in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can't have liberty or freedom, it's the word for freedom, without the Spirit of the Lord. And you can't get the Spirit unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the usage of the word Lord is there. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is that Spirit. And where that Spirit of the Lord is, the Spirit that comes from Christ, from his accomplishments, then you have freedom. Then you have liberty. Where else are you going to get it? Well, you're not. There is no place else to get it. You know? Turning 18 doesn't give you freedom. Turning 30, as Jessica did recently, doesn't give you freedom. And I'll stop right there. So it doesn't happen. It only comes through the Son. It only comes through the truth, the Son. Now, 1 Corinthians 12. We're right here, so look at 1 Corinthians 12 because it's a reminder. It's amazing how many places in the Bible God says, remember this or don't forget this. Well, I don't want you ignorant. And here, 12:1, now concerning spiritual matters, gifts in italics, it's added, it's pneumaticon, it's spiritual matters, things pertaining to the Spirit. Concerning real spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us ignorant on spiritual matters. We just found spiritual matters come through the Word, they come through Christ. That's how God has made them available today. So we're not to be ignorant of spiritual matters. So when you know the truth of what the Word teaches about spiritual matters, then you can have peace. Then you can have truth. Then you can really enjoy life. You've got freedom. So go to John 4. And people today always talk about worshiping different things. I hear it all the time. In fact, they were talking about the football gods the other day. And I've heard them talk about the golf gods, and I've heard them talk about the music gods, and the television gods, and the movie gods, and the financial gods. And I don't believe in all those gods, and we'll see that you're either serving the true God or the adversary, who represents all the false gods. So true freedom based upon the word. John 4:22. In fact, Jesus was having a discourse with a woman at a well, and they were talking about worship. And we pick it up we'll pick it up in 19. So we can see. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Okay, that's good perception on her part. He was more than a prophet, but that's a good start. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," and they're up in Samaria, and there was a mountain that was set aside in the Old Testament. We're to worship here now. Don't go to Jerusalem and worship where you're supposed to, but you can just stay here and worship at this mountain. So they're having discussion. And you say that you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. That's the place where men ought to worship, because that's what it says in the Mosaic Law. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. There's a day coming where something much bigger than being at one or two locations." Jesus said unto her again, "You believe me." Well, that's the first step. Believe Christ. All right, let's believe what he has to say. It's coming. It's not here yet, but when he made this announcement. But you're going to worship someplace not in a physical location. You worship, you don't know what you're worshiping. Well, that's most of the world. But we know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. For the hour is coming, and now it's upon you, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit. And if you're going to worship spirit, they that worship him must worship him then via the spirit and in truth. Via what the word says, via what the accomplishments of Christ are, truthfully via the spirit. That's where true worship comes from. Now, this word worship here, it's proskuneo. Pros, by, basically. And kuneo comes from a noun, kunuo, which is the word for dog. Now, that's an interesting word, by dogs. It's our to worship. That's why you have to have a dog. No, that's not what I was talking about. That's why I said earlier, look at what Olivia is doing. It ties into, if you've ever seen a dog, begging for food, when they're trained properly, they're on the ground prostrate. "Please, please, 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 please. I want food." And this word comes from that. And that's what Olivia was doing earlier. She was prostrating. She was on all fours. It's a matter of worship. It's a matter of saying, "Look at me. I'm humbling myself for food. If you're a biscuit." That's what dogs like. But with her, it's a lollipop. So that's the root of where that word worship comes from here. The true worshipers who humble themselves, it's not necessarily the act of falling on the ground, although that's what they did in the Old Testament. That's what they still do in many countries when a holy man would come by. They'd fall on all fours. They couldn't just fall at their knees, because then you'd kind of levitate a little bit at the knee level. And that's not what it's talking about. They would fall all the way on the ground. It's a beautiful figure of speech. The hour is coming when those who are truly going to worship the Spirit, worship the Father, will do it via the Spirit, will do it by truth, will do it in speaking in tongues. Because that's spiritual worship today, by speaking in tongues. That's truthfully how you worship today, by speaking in tongues. Now, it's not singing. We were singing earlier, but we weren't worshiping God. It's not by poetry or music, or reading the Bible, or getting all emotional, or any works that you can do for God. That's not how you worship him here. In this, he's saying you worship in truth and in spirit. Truthfully, via the Spirit. You worship a spiritual God by speaking in tongues. That's what he's talking about. Now look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3. And in Philippians 3:3 we read, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Now this verse is loaded. Which worship God in the Spirit. Now first off, this word worship is a different Greek word. I talked to you the other day and said, just finished my teaching, and I went back and checked one Greek word, this one, I went, for the next 2 hours, I was going on. I thought I was done. I totally redid everything because of that. So I had a better understanding. Let me read you a translation of this verse from the Working Translation, a translation from the Greek. In fact, we are the circumcision who do service by means of the Spirit of God and who boast in Christ Jesus and who do not have confidence in the flesh. We do service. The Greek word for the word worship here, it's latruo. Look at Romans. Go to Romans 12. Jump over to Romans 12. It's the word that really is translated service. It's a word that's tied into temple service. Latrio, latria, there's different Greek words, three or four different forms of them. And they all deal really with service. You worship God by servicing God, by doing what it is God wants you to do by or dealing with Christ Jesus, which we'll come back and look at. But Romans 12:1, we see it here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, the word service there is latria, and it deals with reasonable, or the word for logical, your logical service, your logical temple service, your religious service. That's why sometimes it's translated religious. It's because of the word service there is religious service. It's the word working in the temple. You were doing temple work. You were doing your religious work. And so that's why many times the word reasonable is translated religious or logical, because it's logisticos, which is the word for logical. So that is what we're supposed to do. That's the service we're supposed to perform. This is serving God. Go back to Philippians 3, though, and we're going to look at this verse again, and we're going to go a couple of different places with it. All right, we service God. We serve God. We serve God via the Spirit. By spiritual matters, right? We don't have to be ignorant of spiritual matters. All right, and what are they? And rejoice in Christ Jesus. The word rejoice, we boast in Christ Jesus, the word for boasting. We do service by means of the Spirit of God. Well, there are nine different ways that we serve God via the manifestations of the Spirit. We do service to God by means of the Spirit of God, and we boast in Christ Jesus. There's really the key. But we don't boast in or have confidence in the flesh. Look at John 6:63. Again, a familiar scripture. But again, our service isn't stand up, sit down, kneel, throw sprinkle holy water on you or something or something. But the man-made service, that's not what we're supposed to do. Those are works of the flesh. We have confidence in the flesh. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They're spiritual life. The words are spiritual life. The words in the Word. And we know it's powerfully active. So the flesh profits nothing. I don't know. You go to work so that you don't get a paycheck, right, Aaron? No, you go to work to get a paycheck. If you know you're not going to get paid for doing that car, are you going to do it? No. Usually no. Unless there's some profit. So the flesh profits? Oh, nothing. So the works of the flesh, then, what do they profit? Nothing, as we saw last week. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. We have no confidence in the flesh because the flesh profits nothing. We don't want to serve the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5. And we're to know no man after the flesh. We boast in Christ Jesus, and we don't have confidence in the flesh. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Everybody got it? 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, Wherefore henceforth, know no man after the flesh. Because the flesh profits nothing. Don't be a respecter of the golf gods or the, you know. All the world and all the flesh and all the gods they want to give us. No, Christ Jesus. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we know him no more. We don't even know Christ after the flesh. It's not Jesus we're interested in. It's Christ Jesus who accomplished everything for us. We don't know him. We don't care about his fleshly walk for what he did. It's because he accomplished and what we have available. That's what we want to know him as today. Oh, he was a great man. He was a great prophet. Wonderful readings. We can do the Thomas Jefferson Bible. We can mark out all the supernatural stuff and just read the words of Jesus. Well, that's nice, but the supernatural part's a big part of it. The walking in the Spirit's got a lot to do with being a real Christian. The speaking in tongues, the manifesting God, worshiping God in the Spirit, all big things. So even though we knew Christ after the flesh, henceforth, we don't know him that way anymore. Therefore, though, if any man be in Christ, you're a new creation. It's a word for creation. You are a new creation. All things are passed away, the things with the flesh, knowing people after the flesh, gone. All things are become new. We have new things that are available today because of the accomplished work of Christ. Those are what we seek after. Those are what we want to spend our time with. Look at Matthew 15. So, we know Christ, but not after the flesh. Flesh profits nothing. After the accomplished works. So, we want to worship God humbly by speaking in tongues. And Matthew 15:6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be. For the context here deals with, the Pharisees were saying, honor your father and your mother, but if you give me money, you won't have to honor them anymore. That's what the discussion was going on here. And Christ was called them out on that, going, excuse me, you're adding to the commandment? So that's the context here. Look at verse 4. We'll start here, 15:1. Then came Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. God forbid. But he answered and said unto them, excuse me, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and to his mother, it's a gift. You give me a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. You can buy your way out of honoring your father and your mother, is what they've been telling them. And honor not his father and his mother, because we gave a gift. We bought our freedom. Right? Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Hypocrite. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain, but in emptiness, to no profit. For after the flesh they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Just do the commandments of men. In the name of the Father's name. That's it. That's all it takes. Do the commandments of men. You're free. But in vain, to no purpose. Oh, they're worshiping. They're not worshiping the true God and what he wants, because they're teaching doctrines of men as commandments. Well, we read the commandment. It's to speak in tongues. It's to worship God the way he wants to be worshipped, because he's spiritual. Look at Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 5. Mark 7, 5, we read. This is really the same thing in a different chapter. 7:5, then the Pharisees and scribes said, how come your disciples aren't walking according to our traditions? You don't buy a Christmas tree. What's wrong with you? But you eat bread with unwashing hands. He answered and said, well, as Isaiah prophesied, you hypocrites. As the word said, it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but where's the heart? They're going through the motions. They talk a good game, but where's the heart? It's far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pots, cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. I think the word of God interprets itself right where it's written, very nicely. All right, Romans 1. Going through the motions. Romans 1:25. changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who was blessed forever. Amen. And we have many of this today. They're changing the truth of God and lying about it. And what's most important to them? Worshiping and serving the creature, the human body, and the works of their own hands, more so than the Creator, who was blessed 2,000 years ago, was blessed 6,000 years ago, who will be blessed forever. That's who we serve, and we serve properly. Acts 7. That's what people want to do. They want to worship the works of their own hands. I went the wrong way. The book of Acts is after John, before Romans. Acts 7. 7:40. Stephen stood up, and Stephen is letting these people have a God-inspired tirade. Acts 7:40. And he's saying unto Aaron, these are the people from Egypt, let's go back. Make us gods to go before us. Because this Moses guy who disappeared up in the mountain, we don't know what happened to him. Maybe a bear got him. Maybe he went over the side of the mountain and defected. We don't know where he is, the guy who brought us out of the land of Egypt. He's never done anything for us recently. We don't know what happened to him. So what did they do? They made their own god. They made their own calf in those days. They became self-made people. They made a calf in those days, and they offered sacrifices unto the idol, and they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Look what I did. Look what, you know, I'm a wide receiver. I'm the greatest. They rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned. Did God turn before that? No, God observed what was going on. It's a great figure of speech. God doesn't turn. We know that from James. But there's nothing God could do. God had no choice. He gave them up to worship the host of heaven. And that's not good. That's not the true God. If the true God is like, go ahead, worship the stuff you made with your own hands. Worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, we took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimphan, figures which you made to worship them. We made our own gods, and we worship those gods. That's more important. No, no. And here's the end result. You get carried away into Babylon, which is what happened to them, because of idolatry, worshiping the wrong god, not worshiping the true God, not even giving a false worship of God, saying we're worshiping, you know, the true God. They're not even doing that. They look, these are my gods now. Moloch, Rimphan, you know, Microsoft. Matthew 4. You either serve the true God or you serve the adversary via one of his fronts. Religion, idolatry, financially. Matthew 4, it's laid out very clear. Two choices, really. True God or the devil. And he comes under the guise of many different ways. But let's worship our works. Aren't they good? Look at these tall buildings. Oh, they came down. Look at these wonderful things we've done. Oh, these pyramids. You can't take them with you. You can't even take what you put in them in with you. Matthew 4, 8. All right, Jesus is fasting for 40 days. He's out in the wilderness. 4, 8. And the devil comes to him. 4, 8. The devil takes him to an exceeding high mountain. In fact, when I was in Israel, a guy showed me where that mountain was. One of the local guys. He knew exactly where it took place. And he showed him, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He gave him a false revelation. 40 days without food. His mind was not real stable, so to speak. He was in control, but the adversary was able to show him devilish revelations. And said unto him, you want it all? The pyramids, the hanging gardens of Babylon, the world, the Chinese world of that day and time and its great empires. It's all yours. What do you want? What do you want to sell out for? I'm going to give you everything. Could he have run the kingdoms of the world better than the devil? Sure he could have. But he knew something greater, something more eternal. All you got to do, all those things I'll give you if you just do one thing.
worship me. Sell out to me. And I don't know how many people sold out to be the greatest guitarist, the greatest writer, the greatest movie person. But they're all getting older. And they've died over the last many years. Nimrod is dead, along with many other people. How about eternal life? That lasts a long time. Olivia, you're pretty old now, right? Are you going to be three soon? You're getting really old. So, eternal life rather than being a god of this world. No. But that's what he's saying. I can make who I want, and then I will take the Hall of Fame away from them. Because I made them, and I'm going to keep them away from some of the things they really want. Oh, gee, the adversary, what a nice person. Revelation 9. In the long run, eternal life with rewards pays off. For how long? Eternally! Do we worship God in the Spirit? Yes, we do that today. We know the truth on these subjects. We don't have to guess. So we abided in the truth. We now have freedom in these different subjects. All right, Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. If you read Revelation, there's some pretty nasty things going on. There's some supernatural events, and they're going, oh, wow, I'm still alive. Party! The works of our hands still. I mean, you know, Mad Max to the max. The works of thy hands. The rest of these men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. It's always a great thing to worship something that can't do anything for you. No, it's not. The true God. Look at that. All right, look at Revelation 19, verse 20. I always like reading some of the end of the book. Revelation 19:20 is what happens to the bad guys. Revelation 19:20. Psst, secret. They get it in the end. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles. You mean all miracles aren't from the true God? And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. They were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Ooh, tough. Bad for them. True God, idols. False gods, works of the hands, flesh, self-made people. There you go. They worshipped his image. They sold out, thinking that was right. 22:9 we read. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. John was trying to fall down at the angel and worship him. Look at verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. It's a greater spiritual being in his mind. I need to worship you. And he said unto me, see, don't do that, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Don't worship me. Don't worship angels, unless you're a Roman Catholic. Don't worship angels. The angel is saying, worship God. Worship the true God. End of argument. Worship God. He's the one that counts the most. So, what should we do? 1 Corinthians 14. We should worship God via the Spirit because he wants to be worshipped spiritually, which is speaking in tongues. And you know what? There's side benefits to speaking in tongues. Here, 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells us, for he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. You want to talk to God, speak in tongues. You're speaking to God. Because no, you don't understand what you're saying. Howbeit in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries or divine secrets. So when you are worshiping God, you're speaking directly to God. Verse 17 tells us, for thou verily givest thanks well. You're speaking in tongues, you give thanks well. Byproduct of worshiping God, giving thanks well. All right, you're mentally, you don't know, but you're spiritually, you're giving thanks well to God. we know from Acts 2:11. Go to Romans 8, we'll close there. But when you speak in tongues, like they did on the first day of Pentecost, they spoke the wonderful works of God. Romans 8:26. In Acts 10, when the Gentiles first spoke in tongues, they magnified God. If you've ever taken a magnifying glass and you look through it, or if you've ever taken my glasses, because that's what they look like, they magnify things. They make God bigger when you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues, God's bigger, then maybe God will help you. Oh, let's talk to God more then. That's God's job, taking care of his children. Finally, in Romans 8:26, speaking in tongues, a byproduct of worshiping God, is praying perfectly. Acts 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, it's singular, for we know not what we should pray. Sometimes I get phone calls at 5:30 in the morning, and I don't know what, I see the name, it's like, I better start praying, I don't know what's going on. And I talk to the individual, and then I know. But there are times when you get the thought in the middle of the night, you need to pray for Julie. And you just speak in tongues, because she works at an insane asylum. I mean, you can't call it that anymore these days. All right, she works at the boobie, you can't say that either anymore. Oh, well. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know what Olivia needs, but I can always pray for Olivia. Most of the time, I think she just needs rest. And Mom needs it too. So we can pray for them all the time. Speaking in tongues is true worship. God, who is Spirit, is communicating to his gift of Holy Spirit, which is new creation in us. God's Spirit speaks to our spirits. It's evidenced when we speak in tongues, and it's truly worship in its purest spiritual sense. Something we should do more of. So, Father, thank you for your love, your grace, and allowing us to know the truth when it comes to true worship, and that we have the ability to do it, and we can honor you that way. We're thankful, Father, we can also serve you in so many other ways because you love us so much and you've allowed us to be a part of the body and to help others. We're grateful for your word, for your spirit, and for Christ's accomplishments in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.